So we are going to continue this week our new series, Teaching the Gospel Tracts, that we have back in the back corner there. And again, let me reiterate, most of these tracts are not produced by us. They're produced by our friends out in the only Swayze in the world, the only town named Swayze in Indiana at Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship. And the reason we're doing this is if we're passing these things out, or if we have this stuff available for people, we should be able to withstand a bit of questioning, a bit of scrutiny on what's in them. Can you talk about what's in them? Can I talk about what's in them? 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, we're to prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Well, is this thing good or not? We need to study these things out. We need to know. And this week, the tract, this is a bit of Christian eye candy. One that you see and you go, ooh, I'll look at that one. It's called God's Will for Your Life. Now, doesn't everybody want to know that? Everybody wants to know God's will for their life. If you go to the Christian bookstore, the one left in town, you'll find scores of books, CDs, study guides, study helps, all designed to help you find out God's will for your life. Why are there so many? And why do they all say so many different things? Because there's a lot of confusion about God's will for your life. Ephesians 5:17 says something a little bit different, though. Look over at Ephesians 5:17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So apparently, if we can judge by the books available in Christianity, Christianity must be full of a lot of unwise people. Because nobody knows what the will of God is. They're constantly buying and searching and typing in questions to celebrities on the internet. Tell me how to find God's will. More on that in a minute. But people struggle with this every single day. What is God's will for my life? And they worry about it. And they fret about it. And they ask Christian friends. And they ask pastors for help. Can you help me figure this out? What am I supposed to do? They help people like her. Or ask people like her. How can you help me figure out what God's will is for my life? And what are they trying to decide almost all the time? Is it choice A or choice B? And how do I know what to do? How do I know what God wants me to do here? Well, this tract, while the title is Eye Candy, it kind of punches you in the teeth right off the get-go. If you're one of those people, we'll see that in a minute. But answer me this question. If God's will is B, and you choose A, what then? God's will was B, you chose A, now you are out of God's will for your life. What do you got to do to get back? How many choices do you have to make to fix your bad choice to get back into God's will? What if you pick the wrong job? You had two offers on the table. God's will was for you to go over here, and you chose this job or college. What do you do now? You've chosen the wrong job. You've chosen something that affects every single area of your life. The hours you're gone from your family, where you go, who you work with, how much you get paid. How are you going to get back in God's will now if you're working at the wrong company in the wrong town, talking to the wrong people, doing the wrong thing? So you see the conundrum people have. College. What if God's will for your life was UCLA and you chose UConn? That's kind of different ends of the country, right? God's will was California, you chose Connecticut. Huh. Well, what are you going to do now? What happens if you blow that choice What then? How are you going to get back into God's will if you were supposed to be in Connecticut and he wanted you at UCLA? These are the kinds of questions people ask. These are the kinds of things people fret about and worry about. I chose UConn and I should have been at UCLA. How are you ever going to get back in God's will? That's a conundrum, isn't it? That will sell books, right? Now, please understand, in no means do I believe God's will operates in the way I just described it. I described how church people think about God's will. That's not how I think about God's will. We'll study this out. That's not how God thinks about God's will, most importantly. But that's a conundrum. Everything I just described, I didn't see anybody looking at me like they're unfamiliar with this kind of thinking. Everybody's either thought it themselves or heard of it. I used to think that way. The question, though, is where did we learn to think like that? Did we learn, you're smiling, church, right? We learned to think like that in church. Yes, we did. But did we learn to think like that by reading our Bibles? Or did we learn to think like that by listening to people talk about our Bibles? Those can be two wildly different things. What people say about what the Bible says and what the Bible says. Those could be UConn or UCLA. But where, and I remember I used to think this, I used to wonder, because I was one of those kids that couldn't figure out what they wanted to be when they grew up. And I used to worry so much. And, you know, the preacher said, if you pray hard, God will show you his will. He's got a plan for your life. Why, he's been building your spouse for you your whole life. Why, he's got the perfect woman. You just have to trust God and pray and serve him, and he'll bring her to you. And how am I going to figure out what I'm going to be when I grow up? How am I going to find the wife that God built for me? All this stuff. Where did we get the idea that it's like we're playing the game of life, you know, and we're going along the board on the game of life, and that's how God's working with us? He rolled the dice, moved forward 5. Here's where you're supposed to be. Where did we get that idea? Church. People talking about the Bible, not the Bible. It's a combination of Bible, they got some verses that they use, a lot of preacher talk, Bible, preacher talk, feelings. How do you feel about something? What does your heart say? Your heart is deceitfully wicked, desperately wicked. Most importantly, what else? Circumstances. Look for God's will in your life by identifying circumstances. That's the soup, that's the blender that gets put together to make us think that we are like blind robots trying to find our way to where God wants us to be in the center of his perfect will. Using all those 4 things, you can figure out whether it's UCLA or UConn. You can figure out whether you should work at Foxconn or Google. You can figure out, this could be relevant this week, should I live in Houston or should I move to the mountains of Vermont? Which one was dry this week? What about blonde or brunette? For the wife. Of course we know brunette, right? Hold the phone though. If God's will operates the way preachers talk about God's will, and you choose blonde instead of brunette, what have you done? God wanted you with brunette, obviously, and you chose blonde. Well, now you're with the wrong wife. Does that affect any part of your life? How are you going to get back into God's will if you've got the wrong wife? Well, now you've got the wrong wife. You've got the wrong kids now. Half of their DNA is wrong. Completely out of God's will. What else? You've got the wrong in-laws. Your kids have the wrong cousins. Your kids have the wrong grandparents. You see how if God's will operates in this cosmic way that people describe it, you make one bad choice, you've wrecked generations of lives who can never be in God's will now. Because they started with you picking the wrong wife. We talked about I was taught that God is going to build you this perfect wife, and He's raising her up in the nurture of the admonition of the Lord, and He's going to give her to you when you walk in His ways and fear Him. Well, that's great. What happens if she gets hit by a bus? It's all part of God's wonderful plan, huh? I thought His wonderful plan was to raise her up and train her and make her this perfect woman for me. Now she got hit by a bus. How am I ever going to get back in God's will now? You're not allowed to ask these kinds of questions. Not in church. Troublemakers ask these kinds of questions. But you can ruin an untold... If God's will operates that way, one choice and you've ruined... What was that? Smoke detector, okay. Make sure the kids aren't doing anything wrong back there.
That was a sign.
A sign, yes. Sign. Keep it going, buddy. Keep it going. Act like the building's on fire. Finish this thing up. Look over. I want you to see something here that's interesting in Genesis. You know, we're taught that God has this perfect plan. And it's almost, the way it's described, the way I hear it described, I think of this. Has anybody ever done archery? You know what you're aiming for, right? Well, the way I hear them describe you getting in God's will is you analyze your feelings and you analyze your circumstances and you analyze all the stuff and the advice preachers give you and you find out, man, you were hitting here out in the outer ring. But if you just make this adjustment, why, you can get closer to the bullseye. And then you get the center of God's perfect will. Anybody ever heard that one? Center of God's perfect will. Are we doing archery here or are we living life? But look at this. This is fascinating. Everybody remembers Abraham, right? Now, this is a guy that has a little bit different deal than you or I do. God comes and talks to him. God shows up for dinner with Abraham sometimes. It's a little bit different deal than you or I have, right? So you would think if there's anybody who is qualified to make a decision and be in the center of God's perfect will for his life, it would be Abram, the American Christian, right? Anybody could make that choice right. It would be Abram. Look at what he does here in Genesis 13. He obviously hasn't gone to church much in America. Abram and Lot have a problem. They're both too rich. They got too much stuff, too much people, too much cattle, not enough real estate. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And look at the stupid thing Abram does. The guy who talks to God, or God talks to rather, gives somebody else the power to choose where Abram's life is going to go. And Lot, is he the star righteous man of the Bible? Abram says, you make the choice that will rule where my family lives. Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart with the right hand, then I will go to the left. Choose, Lot. Which way you want to go? Take wherever you want. I'll go the other way. Abram is giving Lot the power over where his family's going to live. Isn't that something that Americans fret over so much? Which house is the one that God wants me to live in? Which town is the town that God wants me to live in? How will I know? We think we're going to get an answer. Abram, the guy who talks with God, let somebody else make the choice. A little bit different than American Christianity. So I find that difference. I do then, trying to find God's will, I do the first thing, it's in there somewhere, 4th Habakkuk. If you're trying to find God's will for your life, go to Google. So I fire up my Google machine, and I type in, how to find God's will for my life. Think anybody's searching that? Any Christians searching that? The number one search result for how to find God's will for my life is for the website of a lying thief. How are we doing so far? How to find holy, righteous God's will for my life? Google gives me lying thief, number one. How do I know he's a lying thief? He's a self-described charismatic faith healer. That's how I know he's a lying thief. Andrew Womack Ministries. First one that comes up. Now here, what I'm about to read is a case study of confusion. Why do people have such a hard time with this? Because of stuff like this. So the lying thief says, the place to start, how to find God's will for my life. The place to start is to realize that the Lord has a specific and unique plan for you. Oh, that's back where we started, right? Situation I described. He's had this plan in mind before you were born. God had all of your days written out before you were born. So now we're back on the game of life chessboard, right? Now, I'm being told, yeah, God had a plan, whether it was blonde or brunette, whether it was UCLA or UConn. The next sentence I don't even understand. But this guy put it on a website, somebody proofread it. Says, you aren't a mistake going somewhere to happen. I don't even know what that means. Maybe it's I've been out of denominational church for so long, I don't know what it means. You aren't a mistake going somewhere to happen. You haven't been placed on this earth by chance. Where and when you were born, the parents God gave you. So God orchestrated who my parents were. Where I was born, when I was born. Okay. Let's go tell the child abuse victim that. God had a plan for you. He wrote it out before you were born. Your daddy was going to be an abuser. Isn't that great? Oh, it doesn't work like that when you take it into the real world, does it? Your mommy committed suicide. That was God's wonderful plan for you. He had it written all out before you were ever born. Isn't that wonderful? Your personality and everything else about you was orchestrated by God for a specific purpose. God made you paralyzed. Isn't that great? You get to sit in that chair your whole life, watch other people run around. That's His specific plan for you. God gave you cancer. God gave you that debilitating disease that's killing you slowly every day. Isn't that great? It's just a wonderful plan. he goes on. Once you realize that you are the one responsible for discovering God's will, the next step is to start seeking God for it. He's not hiding it from his will from you, but you're going to have to do some seeking to find it. What does that even mean? He's not hiding it, but you're going to have to go look. So he didn't bury it in a field, I guess. He set it out in the field like those geotags, and you just got to get your phone, find it. I don't know what that means. Believe me, God's perfect will is worth finding. Supernatural peace and joy come when you're in the center of his will. And God's blessing and anointing will always be on your work when you're doing what he's called you to do. Now we're back to the bullseye. So he's saying when you're in the bullseye, you're going to feel great, you're going to feel happy, and everything's going to be going right for you. Blessing and anointing. I know that I'm at the center of God's will because of my feelings and because of my circumstances. That's another way to say it. I want to see if I can demonstrate how vapid that logic is. I know I'm at the center of God's will if I'm feeling good and I'm having positive circumstances going well. By that logic, couldn't Kim Jong-un this morning say, I am at the center of God's perfect will? Is he having a good day? He's the ruler of an entire country. If he wants a person, if he wants a wife, he gets a wife. If he wants somebody to die, they die. He just let off a hydrogen bomb today. He's feeling good. His circumstances are great. He's at the center of God's perfect will. Maybe that's too over the top. How about this one? No one in Houston, Texas this week is at the center of God's perfect will for their lives. How do I know that? Well, the guy just told me if you're at the center of God's perfect will, you're going to be feeling great and your circumstances are going to be great. So nobody in Houston, Texas is in the center of God's will at all, period. This is what happens when you take your brain into church with you. Most people, they park their car, they unzip their skull, put their brain in the glove box, and head on into church. And they feel great. And then when they get back in the car, now you need your brain again, so you take it out of the glove box, put it back in your skull. By the way, I stole that from somebody. You hear some stuff that's good, you steal it, you make it your own. Simon Cowell taught me that. But you do. I mean, just think a little bit. All those people are having bad circumstances. Well, if that lying thief is right, then they're all out of the center of God's will. He goes from bad to worse. By the way, number one Google search result. Do you feel dissatisfied or unsettled with your life? Are you tired of just going to work, coming home, watching television, going to bed, and then getting up and doing it all over again? If so, it may be that God has placed a holy dissatisfaction within you. All right. We don't have the time to go into that. A holy dissatisfaction within you in hopes of provoking you to start seeking out his perfect will. Don't wait another day to begin the search for God's will in your life. Now that was the number one Google search result. Let's take out all the stupid junk he said. Top of the article, bottom of the article. Anybody have an idea how to find out God's will for your life? Number one search result, biggest guy. At the end of the whole article, I'm like, well, he said to seek. What does that mean? How do I seek? Where do I look? I look for stuff that makes me feel good and I have good circumstances. You're dissatisfied with your circumstance. Nobody would ever be accused of seeing the grass greener on the other side, would they? No one would ever try to anoint their affair by claiming God put a holy dissatisfaction within them and they needed to go to the blonde because they figured out they chose the brunette wrong in the beginning. This was God's will the entire time. It's a holy dissatisfaction God put in me. That's why I must take my neighbor's wife. Nobody would ever do that. You've never heard that before, have you? So that's one spectrum. Now, if you're Calvinist, I say this with my tongue firmly in my cheek, if you're a Calvinist and you're confused about God's will for your life, congratulations. You're in the center of God's will. God's will is for you to be confused about God's will if you're a Calvinist. All right. What about moderate Christians? Moderate Christians. You know those Pentecostals, they're too nutty about their feelings and their anointings. And you know those hard-shell Calvinists are too predestinated about everything. You're kind of somewhere in the middle. You're a moderate. You feel like you maybe have some choices. Maybe there's like a certain, you know, I have a choice where I go in the bullseye. I don't know. What do? They have the real solution. The spiritual gift test. Has anyone ever taken a spiritual gift test? I did this week. It was fun. Entertainment. What is a spiritual gifts test? Has anybody ever taken an aptitude test? Take them in school. What are you good at? What are you not good at? You take an aptitude test. You combine it with a personality questionnaire. What's your personality? You type A? You type B? What are you? So they mix it all together. They anoint it with some Christian sprinkling. And this spiritual gifts test tells you what God's will is for your life based on your personality and what you're good at and what you're not good at. I told you, you know, the type A, they're put in charge in church. This guy's clearly type A. God's gifted him to organize everything, get stuff done in the church. This person's type B. They are clearly gifted to sit with those monsters in the nursery. That's God's will for their life. I read a Christian satire blog. I know I talked about it before, but they had an article this week along that line. It says, "Man with pickup truck informed he has the spiritual gift of helping people move." I drove trucks for 20 years straight, and I always wanted to get that sticker. Yes, this is my truck. No, I won't help you move. Says, after his old Honda Civic finally died on him, local man Pete Herbert recently brought a used Toyota Tacoma, prompting leaders at his church to almost immediately declare that he has the spiritual gift of helping people move every single weekend. Now, that's a joke, but that kind of stuff happens in church every week. The banker suddenly has the spiritual gift of looking over the church's finances. Amazing. Why does that stuff happen? Well, one reason it happens is the spiritual gifting in 1 Corinthians 12, that supernatural gifting, that ain't happening today. That's why we have to take personality tests and aptitude tests to find out what God's gift is. Do you think Paul, when he showed up at Corinth and God was pouring out those supernatural gifts on people, Paul walked in and said, "Everybody sit down, I got a questionnaire. We're going to find out which of you has the ministry of healing people. Once you're done filling out the questionnaire, we know who can walk up to somebody who's sick and miraculously heal them like that." Think that was necessary? Who's got the gift of tongues? Fill out this form. How about talk to the guy that can speak Chinese? It's not happening today. People know that. So that was, again, quite a bit of ado. So this track. I said this track kind of punches you in the teeth right when you start. And the first page of this track describes the situation I've been describing for the past 20 minutes. It describes the situation of Christianity. It's a common Christian experience to be on a lifelong journey to discover God's will. For these folks, the Bible is a dark and closed book, so they turn to their heart's desires and life's circumstances for clues. what we've been talking about. Telling themselves that the unknown outcome is in God's hands, they take blind steps towards their own ends while remaining ignorant of God's will. That's what we just described. This is all a deception, and the greatest one there is. Doing your own will, and in hindsight, calling it God's. Soon, time flies by, and God's will is still a mystery. That's a pretty good punch in the teeth if you're Joe Pewsitter, and you've been thinking about God's will like that your whole life. So we've done a good job admiring the problem, and now we're like Charlie Brown. Isn't there anyone who can tell me what God's will is all about? Wouldn't it be good to understand God's will sooner so we could get busy doing it? How do we do that? Practical, how do we start figuring out what God's will is and doing it? Number one, throw out the opinions of the experts. The number one Google search result, if good things are happening, that means you're in the center of God's will. Oh, doesn't 1 Timothy 6:5 tell me, don't think gain is godliness? Gain is not godliness. Is that not the opposite of what Andrew Womack Ministry said? Philippians 1:29 says, it is God's will for me to suffer for his sake. Didn't find that in my search results. So, I can now know that I should not look at good circumstances carnally as an indication of me being in or out of God's will. Paul said, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound, right? Abased is down in the dirt, abounding, you're on the mountaintop. He's in God's will both times. How about, that's answer number one, throw out the opinions of the experts. Number two, proof that you can know God's will and find it without looking at your circumstances, you learn from Colossians 2:6. I've probably worn out Colossians 2 in your Bibles because I constantly refer to it. Colossians 2:6. As ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him. Did you receive Christ Jesus the Lord by analyzing your circumstances, asking your pastor, and judging how you feel about things? Is that how you got saved? You asked your pastor about things, you checked your feelings, and you looked at your circumstances, and you said, yeah, I'm going to be saved. No. No. You believed words from a book. That's how you got saved. You believed the gospel. You trusted that Christ did everything necessary to save you, and you did it. That's how you got saved. That's how God tells you you're supposed to be walking. Words on a book. Is there anything in the book about whether you should choose blonde or brunette? UCLA or UConn? I haven't found UCLA anywhere in my Bible. But I'm supposed to walk my life the same way I got saved by believing words in a book. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The only thing that you need to be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works is your Bible. So why are we looking everywhere else but our Bible to try to figure out what God's will is? That seems kind of dumb. Well, that's because we left our brain in the glove box, right? I should be able to find out everything I need to know about God's will for my life in this book. Well, that just takes away everything I've been told about how to find God's will. Wow. Do I need to change That's how it's supposed to happen. You're supposed to be confronted with the truth in here, and you change to match it. That's a novel concept. The tract moves on. God's will can be known where? In the Bible! If you know where to look. You're not going to find God's will with Adam and Eve in the garden. Not your plan. God's will for your life is not for you to be a naked gardener, I promise. As much as you love to garden, as much as you like to be naked, not God's will for your life. He quotes in the tract, Ephesians 1:9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. How about that? That's a 2,000-year-old verse. And it says God's will is revealed. And here we are this morning, Google, how do I find God's will for my life? 2,000 years old. 2,000 years before you pooped your first diaper, God's will is revealed. That should tell you something. That should tell you, wait a minute, God's will doesn't need me. Oh. God's will was being accomplished before me. Well, that's not possible. This whole universe revolves around me, right? That's how we're taught to think. Where did we get the idea that God's will is about our best life now? Oh, a pastor in Houston, Texas. God's will is about a special plan to prosper seemingly only American Christians. It's third world orphans. They got to get with the program. They're not following God's will. Obviously, look at their circumstances, right? God's will is not your deceitfully wicked heart's will. Oh. But I was told to check my feelings. Well, we just saw you're not supposed to be looking at your circumstances. How about stop looking at your evil heart and start looking at God's words? Colossians 1:25, please. Page back. You can find God's will by understanding what He's doing today and what He's not doing. The fancy word for that is you can find God's will by being dispensational. Understand what God is dispensing and get with that program. Colossians 1:25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given unto me for you to fulfill the word of God. I need to pay attention to Paul if I'm going to be in God's will. It says to fulfill the word of God. His words created the entire universe. Maybe we should pay attention to what he's saying and to whom he's saying it. Oh. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. God works in mysterious ways. You just can't know. Yep, there's a brain in there. Can you read? It says the mystery is now made manifest to his saints. What's your problem? To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Verse 28 is God's will for your life, my life, and everybody's life. We'll see more on that in a minute. For me to stand here and say, I know God's will for your life. That seems like such an arrogant thing to say, doesn't it? When you're sitting back in the way people are taught in church. How can you know that? It's all about me. You don't know me like I know me. You don't know what I like I know what I like. How can you know God's will for my life? I know God's will for everyone's life in this room. God's will is about God's will being accomplished and you getting with the program. You in Him, not Christ riding piggyback on you, blessing all the things you like to do. Isn't that how we pray, though? Sanctify what I've already decided to do, Lord. Give me what I want because you know how wonderful I am and you know how much I love you. Does that sound like us getting in God's will or trying to get God on team me? There's a difference. The track moves on. When Christians ask to know God's will, what they are really asking for is God's opinion about their circumstances as if He were a personal career counselor. Dear God, I feel like I'm not going anywhere in life, and I would really like to do something I like. Can you give me a great opportunity? You got to be honest about the problem if you're going to fix it. And it may sound like I'm being hurtful or harmful. You don't understand this. I'm firing both barrels at this guy. I used to be that guy. What if I told you, Neo? Isn't that what Morpheus said? What if I told you that God's will is not difficult to understand? It's just hard to do. It's not difficult to find God's will. It's hard to do it. Especially if you've spent a lifetime listening to preacher talk instead of studying your Bible rightly divided. Man, is that hard to do. Go over to Ephesians real quick. I promise we'll solve the problem before I'm done. I'm just running out of time. Ephesians 1:8, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us, verse 9, the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. God's will is about God's good pleasure, which God hath purposed in God. I didn't find anything in there about my pretty brunette wife. How will I decide now? Here's a fact, though. Most of the people that search for God's will as if God is going to give them a magical zap and tell you whether you're supposed to live in Houston or the mountains of Vermont, most of those people have missed the most important thing about God's will for their lives. How do I know that? Because all too many of them are not even saved. They are religious churchgoers who have never once believed the gospel. How do you get in God's will if you're, as we studied in Ephesians, an enemy alienated in your mind by wicked works, blinded from the light of the glorious gospel? How are you going to get in God's will then? You're not even saved. I don't care your grandma bought the pew. You haven't heard the gospel in that church in 50 years. Do you have 1 Timothy? Turn over to 1 Timothy 2. How do I know what the will of God is for my life? 1 Timothy 2 and verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. God our Savior. Look at the next word. Who will? God our Savior. Who will? Where can I find the will of God? Ding, 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 ding. We just found the will of God for your life. What does it say? Who will have all men to be saved? Isn't that something? How many people walk up and down the aisles of Lifeway Christian bookstores looking to buy books on how to find God's will for their life haven't even done that, have not gotten saved. They've been churched their brains out. They've never been saved. They never heard the gospel of 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. They never trusted it. They never trusted the death, the burial, and the resurrection as complete payment for their sins. But here they are, trying to find God's perfect will for their life, trying to be at the center of God's will. It's sad. The tract says, His will is for your salvation. If you've trusted the gospel, you've already done a big part of God's will. Congratulations. If you trusted in the gospel, you've done heap big things towards getting in the center of God's perfect will for your life. Isn't that what Paul said? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. If you've been saved, you're on Team God. You've left Team World, Team Devil. Now you're on Team God. How about that? That happens in an instant. That happens the moment you choose to trust the gospel. Your eternity sealed. Forever on Team God. The second part of the verse takes a lot longer. Look at the second half of the verse. God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 750,000 words here. Not happening overnight. Learn how to rightly divide all of it. It's going to take a while. Track says, the second part includes a lifelong process of you coming to a knowledge of the truth. This requires continual study of God's Word, prayer, and serving God, 2 Timothy 2:15. Saved and come to know truth. Think about how much that simplifies things. How complicated had we made God's will? Am I supposed to get McDonald's or Burger King for lunch? What's God's purpose? Of course we know Taco Bell. Yes, I know. God would never will anybody to eat a Burger King. But that's what we thought our whole lives. This is, and I know that's silly, but it's just on an order of magnitude. How much farther down do you go from blonde or brunette down to what am I having for lunch? It's still the same junk. But God's will, as He's revealed in His Word, is pretty simple. Get saved, learn your Bible. Rightly divided, of course. The tract says, when the word of truth becomes a part of your inner man, you gain wisdom. You learn skills to teach other people. You are equipped to live according to God's purpose in a time when the days are evil. You know what that means? UCLA or UConn. Doesn't matter. You can do God's will both places. Siberia! Nobody's ever called to go there, right? Nobody ever came up to their pastor, I think God's calling me to the wastelands of Siberia. Can you pray about it with me, preacher? They're always called to warm countries, right? You think I'm joking. Next time you're in a church and they have a mission map, look at the countries where all the pins are. Right near the equator. Huh. Interesting. You can walk across the Philippine Islands from one to another because there are so many American missionaries that have been called to that beautiful place. You can walk across them. You don't have to get your feet wet. Okay, now I'm being silly. So you, if you know what God's will is, you don't have to go pray and get a psychic reading at church. Psychic reading. Who does that? We don't do psychic readings at church. Really? You go in to an office, you talk to a wise person, you tell them about your background, your feelings, your circumstances, your desires for the future, and then that wise person gives you a prognostication of what the universe wants you to do? Psychic reading or pastoral counseling? Which is it? Oh, it's the same thing. Ouchie, that one hurt. God's will is simple. Get saved. Learn your Bible. Isn't it unwise to not know what the will of God is? Now you know why it's unwise to not know what the will of God is. It's pretty simple. If you don't know this, you're a dummy. You can fix that. Stop being a dummy. Learn. Dummy, that was a bad word. Ignorant. Does not mean you have a low IQ. It means you do not know something. Ignorance can be cured. Isn't that... Think of the freedom, though. Think of the freedom in your decision maker. Where I have a decision. I have to choose A or B. Now, I don't have to wonder if I'm messing up God's cosmic plan that He had every step of my life laid out. I don't have to worry about that anymore. What I need to do is, if I choose A over B, will that help me see other people saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? Oh, I can do it both places. Well, then which do you choose? Oh, whichever's best for your family. Ha! Freedom. Liberty in Christ. You don't have to fret about every little vague thing in your life messing up you being God's robot. I've gotten off the board. Will God smack me back onto the board? You don't have to worry about that anymore. Finally, you can see I'm doing a triangle here. We're doing the will of God. How about we do Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the triune Godhead. What is the will of the Godhead for my life? Be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Get saved, come to the knowledge of the truth, and abound with thanksgiving. You ever hear that in people's prayers? You ever hear prayers abounding with thanksgiving? You hear, oh God, please fix this! Solve that! Do this! Ah. Amen. You don't hear much thanksgiving in prayers, do you? You know why? That's because so many people haven't figured out what the will of God is. You figure out what the will of God is, souls saved, saints edified, you start to be thankful. The tract finishes up. It's not hard to let's read the verse. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's not hard to understand God's will, it's hard to do it. True thanksgiving comes from a grateful heart for what God has accomplished on our behalf. We owe Him our life, a life of thanksgiving in every circumstance. Isn't that what 2 Corinthians 5 says? We should not henceforth live unto ourselves. Well, that's what we've been doing the entire time. We've been searching for God's will, living unto ourselves. God's expectation of people when they pray about God's will is that God will change His purpose to match our desires. I know you had stuff to do today, God, but I need you to change your mind and agree with me. Because I really, really want that Ferrari. It's my heart's desire. The expectation is that God will change His purpose to match our desires. The Bible describes this condition. It says, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ. Now, if that sounds too simple, it is. It's just simple enough for people like me to figure it out. That's God's will for my life. It's God's will for your life. Everybody watching this video, it's God's will for your life. But think about, if this is bursting a bubble, if this is ouchy, a little too close to home, think about all the times you've prayed you've wondered, you've talked to God, trying to figure out what God's will was for your life. You've sat in the solitude of your prayer closet, trying to search out what God was going to have you do. Think about what you were talking about to God. Think about what you're praying about. And you know what you're going to find? It was all about you. Your goals, your desires, your wants, your plans, your ambition. It was all about you. Oh, that's what we just read. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. We need to get about the business of seeking that which is Jesus Christ. And we can do that in North Canton or the wastelands of Siberia. Blonde or brunette, UCLA or UConn. That's God's will for your life. Anybody have any thoughts on that? Question. Questions are allowed. Did you write it on the back of a $100 bill?
I can.
Okay.